Everyone, here we are. It's the middle of October. It's getting a little chillier out, but welcome to a new Pod Bithers episode. David, along with co-host Andrew. Andrew, how's it going today?
It's going pretty well. Yeah, speaking of the chilly weather, we turned on the heat this morning. It was a bit too cold in the house, so we decided, yep, it's that time. But it feels weird because, like, last week it was like 80 degrees out, so welcome to Central New York, I guess.
Yeah, the highs and lows, you get almost all four seasons in one day. But that's an endearing trait, I'd like to think.
Indeed.
Well, as always, so the goal of our discussions here are to empower students to shed a little light into the advising world, into the academic world, and for our advisors listening as well, maybe help give you even some helpful ideas as well. Andrew, where are we at today? What's our topic of discussion?
Well, here we are. We are at the almost halfway point of the semester. And so we're going to talk about perhaps some midterm grades, midterm exams, that kind of middle of the semester assessment to see where students are at and how to understand what that means. So interpreting some of those grades, but also the idea of missing home. I've had a lot of conversations already with students about this as we are at or going through the fall break in this moment. We'll talk about how these first few weeks, first 6 weeks of the semester and how crucial they are to determining whether or not someone's going to come back next semester. And maybe talk about some resources and things on campus that will help address those concerns, as well as how advisors can help along the way. So those are just some of the things, and I'm sure we'll ramble off on another tangent that will tie back to these main topics as well.
That's always a goal. Hopefully we can make it into some kind of cohesive sense in some way. And, you know, maybe us chatting a little bit about the weather there is kind of a good analogy for everything, right? That the start of the semester, the sun is shining, it's nice out, you're excited to go and bounce around. It's starting to get a little colder, it's a little harder to wake up in the morning to drag yourself out of bed and go to class. And sometimes emotionally, mentally, you start to get that wear and tear now. And I think we've talked about this in a prior episode as well. But the luster is fading, it's not quite as shiny as it once was. And Andrew, as you just said, it's fall break right now, and we might be missing home. We might be thinking about the friends, right, where things aren't always going perfect anymore. So what type of things are you hearing? What challenges 6, 7, even 8 weeks in here are we seeing with students?
Yeah, so kind of the typical things, time management is always going to be the biggest one, where students are juggling multiple projects, multiple assignments, finding that balance between the courses that are most interesting to them versus the ones where they feel like I'm just going through the motions to pass this general education course or whatever. So some of those things. But in terms of, like, I think fall break really brought up this idea of missing home. I've had this conversation with several students now of, hey, fall break's approaching. You got any big plans, doing anything fun? And for some students, yep, they're like going to see some concert or they're excited to go back and do something with friends. But I've had some students say, like, yeah, I really miss home. And I locked in on that and said, well, let's talk about that, because I think that's something really important to bring up in our discussions. And one, that's a good sign. If you're missing home, that tells me that you've probably got a really good support network back home, and you're lacking that here at SUNY Oswego, the one that you're used to. And I said, okay, I'm glad that we've got that support network back home, but how do we identify and grow that support network here on campus for you? Who are those people that you've made connections with? So that way, hopefully, someday, SUNY Oswego can be your home away from home. And as a first-year student in those first few weeks, it's a new place. In fact, GST 104, the vibe check number 3, it's fresh in my mind because I was just reading some of them. But one of the common, one word to sum up what SUNY Oswego has been, I've either heard new, interesting, or unexpected.
Interesting was the big one I saw a lot of. Which was interesting to me. I wasn't expecting that word.
Right? But that just leads me to think, okay, yeah, some of the things that, like, they might not have expected, or they find things that they didn't even think about, oh, how interesting is this and how it affects me. So, I think it's as they're figuring these things out and navigating those first few weeks of the semester, hopefully coming back from the fall break, we're feeling refreshed. And then we can, if they're still feeling that homesickness, start to get them connected to resources and building out that support network here on campus for them.
Well, you know, and Andrew, it's a really, really good point too. That concept of the word there, like, interesting, unexpected. And even if you have a parent, a sibling, a close connection, you went to college before, every single experience is going to be different. Even if you had a sibling or parent who went to Oswego before, right? It's going to be new. It's going to be fresh every single time. So you really can't prepare, right? We establish some of what we expect and what we know based on media, based on our friends, based on those prior relations, but it's going to be different for every person. So there is no perfect way to prepare for that. And you kind of just go at it as it happens, right? And that can be mentally challenging. It can be stressful. Hopefully, as you said, having that good family or peer relationships that support you, that helps you to navigate through those things. Hopefully you're developing friendships and connections on campus, attending clubs and orgs, starting to connect with professors as well. Hopefully those all support you. But it's really, really tough, right? And this can be the point where, hey, I think I need a little bit of a pause mid-semester and let's refresh and recharge. As you just mentioned, but it also kind of brings up this idea or maybe a note that a lot of students have different access to being able to go home, to being able to recharge, right? So I think of our students who maybe proximity-wise live a lot closer to campus, maybe less than an hour or 2 or 3 hours, versus those who are coming from kind of the far northern reaches of the state, those downstate on Long Island, or even maybe out to Buffalo, right? Only 3, 4 hours away, but it's still a little bit of a hike. And if you don't have access to a car, or if you can't navigate any public transportation systems, right? You also might be here, and that's where some of those conflicts come up. Of do you have those social connections, or even our international students, right? Who travel to us from all over the world. A 4 day, 5 day break period might not be enough to justify and say, "Hey, I'm going to spend this money and go home." So then herein lies the value, and I would almost argue necessity of saying, let's have those clubs and orgs, right? I had a conversation with a student the other day, and they were having some doubts. They were having some struggles about being here. And, you know, we talked about, you know, missing family, missing friends at home. So we had the conversation about, well, what are you involved with on campus? Well, I'm not really involved with a lot. Okay, well, what kind of interests and hobbies do you have? Well, I like this. I like that. Okay, I know this club is related to those. Let's check this out. Are you going to that? Well, no, not really. I'm not. And we started to dive into that a little bit about what could motivate you, what could excite you, and having those connections, especially for a first-year student, I think, but for anyone as well. We focus so much on importance of classes, which is important, right? It should go unstated, but or doesn't go unstated. I don't know. I'm messing up my words here. But the importance of classes. But if you solely and only focus on that, you may be neglecting other elements of your well-being, your social wellness, your mental wellness, even physical wellness, right? If you're engaging, connecting with others as well. But you need to bring that all together, because the best way to take care of yourself in the classroom is to make sure you're motivated and excited to be here. And that goes into your concept of community, your sense of belonging, your well-being. So yeah, this is like a crucial and critical time, maybe echoed by the weather outside. It's getting colder. It's getting a little harder to do things. So how do we turn that fireplace on? How do we turn that heat up a little bit and stay warm when things start to get a bit chilly? And Andrew, it's not easy to do.
No, and I think recognizing that one, it's a challenge, and two, that it's a common experience. I think I've mentioned this before, either on this podcast or the one that we've done for our class, David. But one of my favorite phrases to use with a student when meeting with them is, I never want to come across as minimizing your feelings. I only want to normalize them so that your experience that you're having is a normal, very common, shared experience among X given, population of student. And this is one of them, as we're, trying to figure out even like who we are. And some of the, I've seen this from some student athletes. It's coming fresh to mind as a conversation. Someone who is involved in a sport their basically entire, K through 12 education, and has come to college and is not doing that sport any longer. And now they feel like, oh, I'm missing that part of me. And that's probably why I'm feeling some of the ways I feel right now. And I miss back home. And I'm excited to go to that senior night game that's happening because I get to see my friends and people I was involved with. So getting involved, we also have club sports for those students that might not want to compete at the NCAA level, but want to keep doing their sport or participating or trying something new. Perhaps you were a soccer player and you want to say, hey, what is a club hockey like? Maybe I can join that instead, switch it up, but get involved in things and try. And another common thing that came up in the vibe checks from this past couple weeks of Juice T104 was really to get out of your comfort zone. So if you are someone who feels like, I haven't gone to those clubs yet, I don't know, maybe try something that you didn't think you would want to try before, just to see what it'd be like. And I think college, one of the great things about it is, as you said, David, we know we have to prioritize those academics. But at the same time, it's one of those times in your life where you have all of kind of the rights and affordabilities of being an adult now. Well, some of our first year students, they might be 17 years old, but you're kind of entering adulthood. But you probably don't have all of the responsibilities of, like, being a caretaker. Some non-traditional students or others with different backgrounds might have those experiences, but generally speaking, you kind of have all this now free time to use kind of how you want. And for some students, they dig in too much to the social life, and then next thing you know, academics are a struggle. But I see a lot of students who, in fact, an email just came through of, Andrew, there's an expo event happening next week that I really want to go to, but it's right before one of my midterm exams, and I want to make sure I study for that midterm exam. We've reached a crossroads, right? Do we go this direction and do the fun social event, and which is going to be engaging, or do I study for my exams? And I think that's a great question for a student to be thinking of and wanting to prioritize their academics. But at the same time, you need to get involved, and it doesn't necessarily meaning I'm going to join every club and attend every single club meeting. I think even back to my own club experience, I was a part of clubs, but that didn't mean like I went to every meeting and I was on the e-board for those clubs. But the ones that I was really interested in, I was making sure to go to all the meetings and whatnot. So I think get outside of your comfort zone, try things, and then talk to other people, see what your peers are doing. I often joke, don't go to your peers for advice about necessarily what classes you should be taking and college policies. That's what your advisor is for. But your peers are great to feel what's happening on campus. What things did they go to? What thing did they enjoy doing? And I guarantee that other students are having a similar experience to you of maybe not being interested in something, afraid to get out of their comfort zone. But the moment they step through that threshold, it's like a brand new experience for them and something that they can start to look forward to that they would have had no idea it was something that interested them.
I love your kind of crossroads point right there too. I would even say, okay, we have a midterm, that's going to be important. We have this expo or event, and that can be really meaningful. You know what? Instead of taking the road, let's go off-roading a little bit here, and we find out, okay, is there something tied to that expo or event that maybe you can talk to the person organizing it, right? Can you do something at a different time to still learn about it, to still make connection? And that's where sometimes you got to be creative, you got to be innovative a little bit, and it's easy to say, oh, I can't attend this, so I'm just going to miss out on it. I'm just going to give up. But taking charge, being proactive, finding ways to still do something, I think is really meaningful and important. So that kind of an aside there. But yeah, I really love this idea that, Andrew, as you're saying, you're entering into this college environment again for our first year students for 6, 7 weeks, and even for our returning students, if you happen to be listening as well, you still hopefully ha haven't had to be burdened by too many kind of longer responsibilities, greater responsibilities quite yet. But I always saw, and this is my mentality going to college, that it was like a big, almost like a reset button or a fresh start. That in high school or even back at hometowns and whatnot, you may have over time been kind of pigeonholed or put into kind of a box of, right, this is what you're expected to do, this is what your opportunities are. I came from a high school not too far from here, and Andrew, I think you were as well, not too far away from Oswego, where when I came here, it was a large high school, but there were maybe only, I don't know, 15, 20 of us who came up here, out of the thousands and thousands out to Oswego. I had a chance to make new friends. I had a chance to dive into new activities, get involved in different ways of doing things. And you don't get those opportunities, too many times in life, right? They'll come, right? But when you take them, this is really your moment to shine, your moment to say, do I want to try something brand new? I probably mentioned this in this podcast before. I know I've mentioned it in the other projects we work on, but I'm a D&D nerd, right? So I would say to someone, if you've been kind of on the periphery, maybe you've heard about, well, what is Dungeons and Dragons? What are ways to get involved and slay monsters and cast magical spells? But you've always been a little bit shy to do it. Hey, maybe check out Storytellers Guild now. Maybe come down to my office. You can look at all the books that I have, and I'm happy to talk shop with you as well. But try those new things. If you've always wanted to travel abroad, but you're scared to do it, maybe look at a quarter course, right? Where you can learn about a global city, and then you take that trip with a professor. You're making relationships, you're dipping your toes in the water without maybe fully committing to a semester long or a year long experience is such a great opportunity to try new things, especially when opportunities are afforded to you or provided where clubs and orgs exist. Resources are at your fingertips. And these also aren't things that you're going to have to go out and find later on in life and start up from scratch. And all this ties back to our conversation that when you're feeling a little exhausted, when you're feeling a little worn out, taking advantage of these recharge moments, of these opportunities, of these ways to step out of the stresses of the classroom and just into the fun of engagement and trying something new, it can really motivate you and be like that little mini vacation in the middle of the week or on the weekend that helps you to keep moving forward for the week ahead. So lots of ways to get involved, lots of ways to get connected, and all these things tie into, I think, our ability to long term to be successful as well.
And not only be successful, because that's the goal of college, right? Is to be successful, get out of here with that degree, the diploma in hand. But you don't want it just to be successful. I think you want it to be meaningful. You want to look back and say, like, I got something out of this experience. And if you're just the proverbial stuck in the dorm room, you're not going to get to experience that. So get out of your comfort zone. Get involved as much as you can. Strike that balance between academics and non-academic things that you do. But that's you want to make the most out of this time again, because this is that time in your life where you've got the ability to do things. You're young, you're youthful, you've got energy before you get like two unks like us here, who maybe not the coolest people on campus these days, but get out there, try
Hey,
things, have
speak for
fun.
yourself there. I'm pretty cool on hip. I got my D20 in the background over here. Come at me.
Rolls. Oh, critical miss.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think back to my own experiences as well, right? And I was, as a student, I was often initially someone very, very shy. And I had my moment. It was almost right around the first 6 weeks period, right? Where remember talking to people, do I want to be here? Do I belong here? I'm exhausted and whatnot. And I definitely had that phase. So first normalizing that, right? Like Andrew, like you were saying as well. But being able to persist through, right, was important. And then really I felt like where I started to shine and where I was most connected, engaged at campus, I was doing my best work academically, and I was feeling most fulfilled and engaged was when I got that campus job. I was more involved and connected. And it wasn't even just about the money, which was nice. But I was making friends in the dining hall. I was talking to other people. I was connecting even with the staff on campus as well. It was when I became an RA, right? And I got to know my residents is when I was putting on programs. It was when I was involved with some of the different band and music things, and we were doing our concerts, right? And we were sitting next to people who had similar interests to me. It was those social moments just as important as what's going on in the classroom. But I often try to talk to my students about the importance of involvement as well, because long term, when you're thinking about your future, your growth, first of all, every opportunity and experience is maybe a chance to put something on to that resume, right? To distinguish yourself from, okay, you each took the same courses, you have roughly the same GPA, but one of you had this treasure trove of experiences and the other didn't, right? That might look more appealing, but it's going to give you generally those life experiences, things you're going to draw back on, opportunities to try something out, to expose yourself to something new. And those are all tools to put into your toolkit later on that you can draw back a wealth of knowledge from. To solve problems, to have memories develop. And it's you almost can't put a price on it, right? You can't measure how valuable it is. And even as a small, tiny thing, I went to a random little event. I had no clue what was going to happen. It took 30 minutes, but I made a friend. I learned something new, and that, brightened up my day a little bit. And there's so much value just to getting involved and to putting yourself out there as well. Where I'm teaching a class right now, GST 109. Who do you think you are? And we're having conversations in that about, it's a D&D related class, and we're okay. Who is your adventuring party? So in the game, right, in the class, they have their little teammates who are in the class. But we ask them outside of this, who is your adventuring party? Who's your friends, your mentors? And I was reading a paper recently that said, well, I don't know if I have a lot of mentors. I might want this person, and I have a good connection with this professor, but I don't know about that. So I said, well, what's the risk reward, right? If you reach out and send a message to them, if you say, hey, could I set up a meeting? I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. That could be a lifelong mentor, a partner, someone who's going to give you really good advice. Worst case scenario, right? They probably say, I'm sorry, I'm really busy with stuff right now. And unfortunately, I can't help. But they're probably not just going to brush you off. And they say, but this professor, they might be able to help you. Or I would recommend you do this club or organization. The likelihood of something positive occurring in that moment outweighs the bad. And even in moments of failure, of disappointment, of not coming through, that helps to teach us resilience, right? I often think of the kind of the scene in what is the Dark Knight, right? Where I think Alfred is saying to Batman, why do we fall down to pick ourselves back up, right? And we learn that resilience, we learn that grit. And this might be a grit moment for a lot of you who are listening, that you're maybe hitting those first grades that aren't quite what you wanted to. You're struggling with time management for the first time, and you're missing those family members. But instead of using this as a moment to say, this isn't for me, say, okay, well, what can I do to make this my moment? And what can I do to get through this even better? And it's not easy. It's important to note that it's not easy, but it's meaningful and it's important, and it'll help develop those skills that I think you'll use for the rest of your life. Well,
Agreed. And I think this is a good segue to like the midterm time frame that we're in right now, because some students either they've taken that midterm exam if their class offers one, or perhaps they have one coming up soon. Even if there isn't a midterm exam in the class, here at SUNY Oswego, we do have a midterm grade policy such that any 100 and 200 level class must submit a middle of the semester, aka midterm grade, so that way we can evaluate how students are doing. And so, if you are one of those students who maybe didn't do so hot on the midterm exam, or the midterm grade that was entered for you isn't the grade you were hoping for, one of the things that I like to remind students is this is only the halfway point. We're only halfway there, meaning thinking about all of that has transpired in the last 7 to 8 weeks. Well, here's an opportunity, almost like you said, David, with when you come to college as a refresh, it's almost like another refresh. What were the mistakes that were made? What were the bad habits that we kind of started to form and we're seeing, ooh, that's kind of where I ended up because of this. Well, can we make corrections? Can we adjust? And then can we lock in for the semester and make sure that we're going to get closer to those grades that we're hoping to achieve. And I think for some students, it's that they need that wake-up call I've heard, is that they kind of like to see it, to show that it's real to them of here it is. Here's where I'm at. And so I think, understanding how your midterm grades, whatever that might be for you in particular, is really important to assess where you're at and then know how to either improve going forward, or as I tell the students, like double down on all the good things that you're doing. Don't take that as a sign as like, oh, I got an A on the midterm, I'm good to go. No, that means all the work that you've been doing has led up to this. It means you got to keep putting in that work. And I'd say not just keep putting in the work, but put in more effort. Really kind of push yourself to do as well as you can. So that way, when you do run into, a hurdle or some kind of challenge that's going to make you slow down, well, you've just been going. So that slowdown isn't going to affect you as much as maybe someone who hasn't even gotten up there yet to that point. So keep that momentum going, keep pushing ahead. And like I said, if you're someone who might be struggling a little bit, identify those bad habits. Let's see if we can cease them now and really lock in for the rest of the semester.
yeah, it's a perfect check-in point, right? So it's important to note first, what does that midterm grade mean? And if you don't know, talk to your instructor. Is it a score on a test? Is it the cumulative average that you're up to so far, right? So this is the first, a great chance if you haven't started to talk to your instructor, or if you haven't looked at like the syllabus or the policies, make sure you know what you're working with. You can't make improvements, you can't make adjustments if you don't know what you're working off of. But again, Andrew, going back to that fork in the road, crossroads analogy, if your grade was really good, you have two decisions. Going to keep up those good habits, or are you going to take your foot off of the gas, but that grade might dip down, and you need to decide if you're comfortable and happy with those results. If your grade wasn't what you wanted it to be, am I going to take actions and steps? And you do need to maybe have a tough conversation with that instructor, depending on the progress you made so far. It's important to know, are you too deep in the hole, right, to get back from that? And sometimes that does happen, right? We can't just say, well, everything can be come back from. We'll get to that in a little bit, I think, when we talked about like maybe the role of the advisor in all this here. Or, okay, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to pick it up. And that doesn't necessarily mean that an A is automatic either, right? One of the things I think is a tough, hard lesson to learn, or hard reality is that sometimes there's an expectation that, I started off a little bit rough and I'm working hard now, so I still, I'm going to get an A. And that might not be the case, right? There are consequences. There is accountability, right? And a final grade is a result of the work you put in. But that doesn't mean that hard work can't lead to a B or even to a C. And that can be a very meaningful B or C still, that still gets you across that finish line, that still earns that credit. And you might even learn more and take more away from that C grade than you do from that A grade if you help to learn lessons along the way about time management, about your personal habits, about how to reach out and use resources as well. And if you do have those moments of maybe you're struggling in the first half of the semester, this is where you can apply concepts of that fixed and growth mindset. I don't know how much we've talked about that so far on this podcast, Andrew, in the past couple of episodes, but just as a very kind of brief introduction. If you've been struggling, a fixed mindset would say, you know what, I just can't do it. I'm just not good at time management. I'm not good at college. That math class, yeah, I'm just not good at math. And I guess I just can't do it. That's that fixed mindset. But a growth mindset would be, you know what, yes, I have had struggles. I got a 50 on that test. But you know what? I'm going to look back at that test and I'm going to read through it. I'm going to see what I got wrong. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to grow, to ask questions, to develop skills. And from there, you know what? I might not get everything perfect, but the bumps in the road that I hit are learning opportunities for me. They're chances for me to do better. And I'm going to take advantage of those. And you know what? I might not be perfect, but I'm going to show my resilience. I'm going to show what I'm made of, and I'm going to do my very best work. And it comes down to what do you want to be, right? Do you want that fixed mindset? And hey, if you do, that's your decision. No one can force you into adopting that growth mindset, but you then want to acknowledge, you know, what the outcomes might be as well. So that fixed and that growth mindset is important, but taking every step, taking every action you can to make the most of this experience. When we're thinking about these things, Andrew, how do you think an advisor can help, right? So that's the pod advisors, right? That's what we're here for and everything. So if one of these students came to you know, midterm grade release next Friday, hey, Andrew, my grades weren't quite as hot as I wanted them to be. I'm thinking about going home. I don't think I can do this. How would you navigate through that very intense conversation?
Yeah, so one of the things I like to help students with is to understand what the academic policies are that might be beneficial to them. So obviously, if a student is in danger of failing a class, we talk about withdrawing from the class, but that's not without its own consequences, so make sure to discuss those. But I remind the students that the course withdrawal deadline is the last day of classes. So this means we have the next X number of weeks to see if this is possible still. So let's not give up yet. Is it possible to turn things around? So let's send that student to discuss this with the instructor to see, okay, is it irrecoverable or is there an opportunity to do decently well still in the class? Where perhaps, you know, if it was an exam that brought you down, how many other exams are left? I know it's a pretty common policy amongst a lot of classes where, like, maybe the lowest quiz or exam grade might get dropped. So, identifying those things in those classes where you might see, like, oh my goodness, there's no hope. But actually, if you continued to do well in the class, this first big mistake might not be an issue for you.
You also can't bank on that though, right? And that's the importance of making sure you know the syllabus, you talk to the instructor and ask those questions. And again, that doesn't mean those conversations are going to be easy. You might have to humble yourself. You might have to say, hey, I screwed up. But being willing to ask those things you don't know until you ask. And that's important to note as well.
And I always make sure to remind the student the framing of the question should not be, oh, what's like extra credit that I could earn to like do well in the class? Like, advice to college students, don't ask your professors about extra credit. That's like one of those weird points that comes up sometimes. You know, some classes might have it, others, the professor might not appreciate that kind of question from you. But instead, the framing of this question should be with what's remaining in the class, the possible points that I have left to earn. Is it still possible for me to pass this class and not just pass the class, but to meet those kind of expectations that I want for myself? Like, yeah, I could pass the class with a D minus, but is that really going to help me? Is that going to be beneficial to my progress here at SUNY Oswego? And then that's a conversation that once you have identified that information from your instructor, now as the advisor, we can calculate, okay, what will this mean for your semester GPA? Are there concerns for financial aid where we need you to go talk to them to make sure you're going to be on track to maintain that financial aid. So it's complicated, but that's kind of what the advisor can do for you is help navigate these complexities of college policy. An idea that's come to me, David, and we might have had this in one of our hallway conversations about advising and things in pedagogical practices, but I want to start incorporating in my own syllabus and my syllabi for other classes is some type of grading scheme so that way students can track their progress along the way. So have some kind of like, all right, at midterm, here are the expected grades that should come in and how you can determine what roughly your midterm grade would be. Same with final exam. And so maybe something your advisor can do is if you have questions or concerns about these matters, bring your syllabi with you to an advisor meeting, and we can sit down and we can navigate. Okay, where do we need to focus on? It actually looks like quizzes are only 10% of your overall grade. So perhaps you've missed a lot of those quizzes or didn't do well on them. There's still an opportunity to do well overall in this class. And a specific example of this came up the other day with, I won't name the course just in case it's viewed negatively. But it was a positive experience ultimately at the end of this conversation. But the student was very concerned about performing poorly on an exam. And when we looked at the breakdown of grades, exams were only 30% of the overall grade. So to do poorly on the first exam was really only like a 10% knock on their grade, and not even 10% because they earned points. So it was really like only a 6% knock on their grade. So in theory, if everything else was 100, the student could get an A in this class still. And that like blew their mind. They're like, wait, how does, I thought test meant it was like, that's why we have to look at the syllabus to determine what each grade is weighted towards that overall grade. So I think that's where we as advisors are, not to say we can't be helpful in other places, because we certainly can as we talk about effective learning strategies and time management, but just simply breaking down a syllabus and helping to, the student understand what these grades mean for each of their classes.
Knowledge is power, right? It goes back to that old phrase that if you know what you can do, what you can't do, how things break down, it can empower you to make the best decisions. Andrew, that idea you talked about of kind of tracking grades, one of our colleagues, another advisor, Victoria, I know does that in her syllabus for a course where you have the grade breakdown of each thing, and there's a section right on that syllabus where you can write in your grade as well. And that's a great tracking tool. If your instructor uses a Brightspace or another online learning management system where you can look at the grades, take a look at those. Look at how the breakdown is. Track those, and then ask questions as well. If your instructor doesn't post those, doesn't use Brightspace, doesn't have it directly in an area where you can write on the syllabus, empower yourself, right? So track your own grades. Have a sheet of paper. Have an Excel document. Look at the grade breakdown on the syllabus. And if you're struggling to do that, if the mathematics of it is a little bit tricky to digest, my first recommendation would be go to the professor. They're the ones grading. They're the ones who can give you direct feedback. But if for any reason you can't do that, maybe office hours don't work, if there's hesitation for some reason, talk to the advisor. And even if we're not teaching that class, we might just have the knowledge and experience working in this ecosystem to help a little bit more to understand those things as well. And I think that goes back to in these academic difficulty times, in the moments in the middle of the semester where you're doubting yourself, that advisor can be that safe refuge. And we can't solve everything for you, right? But we can help guide you. We can be that, again, I'm using all my D&D analogies here, right? That outpost in the middle of the desert or in the middle of the storm, right? To go through policies, to share information, to share resources. Hey, you haven't used tutoring before? Okay, well, let's talk about why you're using tutoring or not. Oh, you don't even know how to set an appointment. Hey, let's sit down together and we'll set up your first one. And after you go to that appointment tomorrow, I want you to email me, or actually, I'm going to email you back and I'm going to ask you, how did that go? And as long as it wasn't the worst experience in the world, and spoiler alert, it's not going to be the worst experience in the world, I think you're probably going to want to go again and again and again. And that's going to help you. It's going to help form more knowledge. You're going to take advantage of resources. You're struggling with your mental health? Hey, let me walk over to you with counseling services. And I'll speak just very briefly here. I think there are so many faculty and staff, can't speak for everyone, but so many who are willing to say, let me take time to care for you and support you. I'll bring you over to that resource. I'll help you make that phone call. If you're a little bit nervous about maybe writing that email to that professor, okay, well, talk me through what you want to say with them. And I can give you some feedback from a professional perspective. It doesn't mean I'm going to write it for you. You're still going to be the one who gets that experience. It needs to be in your words. But I will help to alleviate some of those stressors so that when you do it, hey, that wasn't so bad actually, after all. And it's going to lower that barrier, and hopefully you're that much more likely to do it yourself again in the future. And I always try to say that the advisor is that ally, that advocate, and that resource, that if you just don't know who else to turn to, come to us. And that doesn't mean I'm going to have all the answers and I can't do everything for you. And I'm not going to do everything for you, but I'm going to empower you and support you along the way. Midterms are a hard time in the middle of the semester. The stresses are converging, the assignments are building up. Unfortunately, sometimes this is when sickness season really starts as well, as we all huddle inside, right? And things start spreading as well. So use your resources. Don't think you have to go it alone, but rather take advantage of what is available to you.
For sure. And remember too that like when you are having those doubts, when you are having those questions, you're not alone. There are other students who are probably feeling that same way. So don't feel like by you reaching out for help, that's a sign of weakness. No, that's a sign of strength that you're doing the thing that will set you apart from those that do not. So don't be
Right. And
afraid.
it's just a fantastic opportunity. And I think, as we mentioned earlier, Joe, this is that reset button, that chance to do something brand new as well, not just for your well-being, not for your success, but just for life also. So there's so many, I think, great and exciting moments. Don't look at midterms. Don't look at these struggle moments that, might be happening, and it's normalizing perfectly fine for them to happen. Look at them as opportunities, right? For, I'm a big history nerd in addition to many other things. And to draw one last maybe analogy here is that, at points in time of human conflict, right, where there are major societal disruptions, changes, sometimes outright war, those oftentimes are also moments of great innovation, of great change, and great opportunity also, right? So if you are struggling, you're going through that conflict, use this as that motivation and inspiration to find something new for yourself, find something exciting that's going to help you drive through and become the best version of yourself as well. Maybe that's what I'll leave as my kind of takeaway message for today. I think as we're getting ready to wrap up here, of make this the opportunity, whether it's your first semester or your eighth semester here on campus, whether you're brand new or you're seasoned, use this college opportunity to make the best version of who you want to be.
For sure, David.
Well, so Andrew, as we, I think, typically like to do, we try to wrap up with a fun random question or a different point of topic. As we're thinking about this, the weather does get cold. I think our office later is doing a little apple picking, which is always a traditional fun fall activity. Andrew, any fall activities that you really enjoy doing with the leaves falling, the coffee and cider brewing? What do you look forward to at this time of year?
Yeah, so I think if I'm a SUNY Oswego student and the fall weather and spooky season has arrived, I think one exciting thing that you can do is to take an adventure outside of campus a little bit of a ways and check out some of the farms that we have in the area that do different types of events. I think like SEAS puts on something. There's apple picking, there's all just like the haunted not hay rides, but there probably is a haunted hay ride someplace. I'm blanking on the specific one, but there are lots of like things that are happening in the greater Oswego area that you could and hop in a car with a couple friends and get to without too much of a driver concern. So take advantage of the fun spooky season things that we have going on in Oswego.
Yeah, I'll shout out a couple of things that come to mind for me as well. So first of all, on campus, and this isn't just unique to fall, but I always feel this is like fall and even into winter activity, is that if you've never gone ice skating before, we do have open skate opportunities available in the ice arena. You can just pop onto the Oswego website, search for open skate. You don't have to have your own skates. Rentals are available as well. And it's a nice, relaxing way just to hang out with friends. Sometimes you can be silly. And kind of, fall on the ice and everything. They have little, I don't know what they're called, little guardrail things that you can use, trainers that you can use to learn. And it sometimes draws you back to your childhood, that if maybe you haven't gone ice skating for a long, long time, it can be a relaxing activity. I know that across town, I've seen signs up, and I don't think this is finished yet because we're entering spooky season, as you say, for what I think is called the Creepy Crawl, which I believe takes place in one of the tunnels on the east side of town. There's like an old train tunnel that goes near Washington Square Park, and they kind of block it off for almost like a little haunted tunnel thing. So if you're into that, I am not. Go for it and go frighten yourself. And then find some of the other events and activities. So by the time that we post this will probably have already happened. But like this weekend is like dirt week in town, so the racetrack is already being all taken over and everything with dirt festivals and whatnot. There's various event venues that do like fall tasting menus and whatnot. In a couple of weeks here, the Oswego City Christmas tree will do the lighting and everything as well. So there's all sorts of different ways to get involved and connected on campus and in town as well, or even use those moments where maybe you do head back home for a little bit and continue any home tradition you have. If you live close enough where you can bop back home for a weekend and still participate in things, it's good for the spirit, right? To make sure you're still engaging in traditions and activities, or make your own traditions with your friends here on campus as well. So lots of great things to do when it's getting a little chillier outside to still hopefully warm the spirit up.
We had my Star Wars game night this week, and
Yeah,
I
how'd it
brought
go?
Apple. It was fantastic. And we don't at the end of the podcast, we don't need to derail things and talk about it. But I did want to mention I brought apple cider, and one of the things that got brought up was like, "Oh yeah, it's that time of year again." I forgot how much I love apple cider, and we had a whole conversation about donuts and apple or pumpkin spice, right? And how it's that time of year. So like, there's a lot of cool things in Oswego, local like farms that make these things for you. So check it out. It's good stuff.
That was always one of my memories, Andrew. I don't know if you remember this or if they still do this, but I always remember it in the dining halls when you'd get to mid to late October, early November, and they'd have jugs of apple cider out for a couple of weeks, and that would always be
Yes.
an exciting time.
Yeah. All
Very
right.
cool.
Well,
Well, yeah, go ahead.
no, I
You
was
can
going to
wrap us up. I
say,
started us.
hey, take it. Here we are. This is episode 3 now. So thanks for tuning in the podcast. We're not sponsored by anyone, but we appreciate your listening ears and your feedback too. So feel free to like, subscribe, comment on all the places perhaps you're listening. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and hey, tune in next time, and may the force be with you.
Sounds good
All right,
to
let's take
me.
it there.